Hello and welcome to this week's Inside Education, your weekly guide to education matters in Ireland and further afield. You can get in touch with me through Twitter at InsideEd, by email insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie or through the programme's website insideed.com. If you're an educator with a story to tell or an event to highlight, please contact me and I'll do my best to feature it. The annual conference of the Irish Primary Principals Network, the IPPN, took place at the end of January in the City West Conference Centre in Dublin. On last week's programme, I brought you my interview with the president of the IPPN, Maria Doyle. This week, I'm speaking to one of the keynote speakers at the conference, Dr. Todd Whitaker. Todd Whitaker is a professor of educational leadership at Indiana State University, and he has spent his life pursuing his love of education by researching and studying effective teachers and principals. Prior to moving into higher education, he was a maths teacher and basketball coach in Missouri. Todd then served as principal at the middle school, junior high and high school levels. He's written over 30 books, including the national bestseller, What Great Teachers Do Differently. When I spoke to Todd Whitaker after his keynote presentation at the IPPN conference, I first asked him what his presentation to Irish principals was about.
It was about what it is great principals and what great teachers do differently than the other people.
And what is it that they do differently?
Well, there's a lot of things they do differently. I've written a couple of my books are on that topic. But one of the things they understand is it's people, it's not programs. That any new programs really are not going to change a school. But if you get better people or have the people you have help them improve, that's the way you change the school. And that's like one of the concepts. Another one is you have to treat students with respect and dignity every single day. I call it 10 days out of 10. And a lot of people do it when they're in a good mood. A lot of people do it at the start of the year or the end of the year. But there are certain people that are able to do it every single day. And those are the people that are much more exceptional and effective than all the other people.
So if you're a current principal, is it a situation that you are either great or you're not great, or can somebody become great?
Anyone can improve. To really become great, you have to have there's a talent base you have to have. But everyone can improve. Everyone can get more like that. You know, it's really funny. In a school, if they have a truly outstanding principal, the people either become superstars or superstar wannabes. In other words, they're people that are exceptional or people who want to be exceptional. And either one of those is a pretty good situation to be in. So I don't know if they can any reporter become great? Can they break national news? Can they be investigative? But all of them could be better. There's no question about that. So I think it's a similar thing in every profession.
So when you walk into a school, how do you recognize that there is a great principal working here?
Well, one of the things to understand is one of the best measures of the effectiveness of the principal is actually teacher input. And we have instruments we've developed, we've used them all over the world, and we survey teachers school by school as to how effective their principal is. And so that's one way to start. That's a very good measure of how effective the principal is. The other thing you can get as soon as you go in the school is tone and climate in terms of how people are treated, how we interact with people, time on task, student behavior, all of those things are also part of that.
So supposing somebody is trying to audit themselves as a principal,
right.
How do they actually, what kind of questions should they be asking in order to see, you know, what do they need to do to improve?
Sure. You know, the only real two ways to improve a school are hire better teachers or improve the ones we have. So if I'm a principal, I can look at the last few principal teachers I've hired. Are they exceptional or am I hiring average people? When we hire a new teacher, our goal is to have our school become more like our new teacher, not to have our new teacher become like our school. We don't need to hire what we have. We need to hire what we need. And so have I been able to hire people with more talent than what I currently have on average? And then have I been able to help the rest of the school become more like the new people? Am I continuing to nurture and help those people grow? That's a quick self-assessment. One of the biggest differences between effective and ineffective people in any job, in any line in life, is their ability to know how they come across. And it's really tough because if you do not have the ability to know how you come across, you do not know you don't have the ability to know how you come across. And that's really tough. But if you can ask your exceptional people, the most effective people in your school, they'll look you in the eye and they'll tell you the truth.
So how do you prepare then a great principal? Is it something that happens in their college experience, or do you expect a principal to have been a teacher themselves?
Yes, but the thing is, being a teacher is not the variable. Being an exceptional teacher is the variable. To be an exceptional principal, it's the exact same skill sets as it is to be an exceptional teacher. So if somebody has 12 years of average experience, that hasn't prepared them to be an exceptional principal. So we make a mistake when we think it's like, oh, they need to be a teacher recently, or they need to be effective. If they were an effective teacher, they have the exact skill set they need to be an effective principal.
And what about college preparation then? Does that contribute to greatness in a principal?
It can help, but realize the people at the colleges, if they're not exceptional, how can they help other people be exceptional? You cannot learn how to be great from average people because average people don't know how to be great. They're not keeping it a secret. They don't know how to be great. So how could someone average teach someone else how to be exceptional? But if the people at the college are exceptional, I have great faith they can help people be great. No question at all. But if they're average, That's kind of a limit right there.
But surely, just on a numerical basis, most of us are average. You know, there are some exceptionally strong, some exceptionally...
Sure.
But the majority of people are average. So are you trying to push what's average higher? Is that your mission?
Let's think of it this way. If in a school, let's pretend there are 8 teachers. If all the teachers go in each other's classrooms and observe in a non-judgmental, non-evaluative way, all the teachers become like the best teachers because no one steals a worse idea. You never go and think, I don't think that'll work as well as what I do. I'm going to give that a crack. You don't ever do that. So if principals could go in each other's schools, if they could have a chance to go into meetings that other principals lead, you're going to start stealing ideas. Instead, what happens is education is such an isolated profession. You know, you're never alone, but you're not with peers and colleagues. So that's the first place to start. If I'm a college professor, which I happen to be, the first thing I can do is make sure everybody going through our school has been with an exceptional person. And so the biggest disadvantage a principal has is if they've never worked with a great principal, because now they have to figure it out on their own. But what we need is the truly exceptional principals. Teachers in their schools want to become principals because they see the value of it. And if you're with an ineffective principal, you don't want to be a principal because everybody hates the principal. And so that's where you start, and you can replicate it much more. So if, you know, and the better principals hire better teachers, and then they're more likely to become better principals themselves, and that's the way you have to extend it. But I'll be honest, even when it comes to school boards, if they're average, they don't want great principals. Average people are afraid of great, and that's really a hindrance in terms of life. And so you have to have exceptional people at all levels leading, or else they don't want to add other exceptional people.
And what is it then? Is it a motivation, or is it knowledge, or is it a disposition? Where is the source of the greatness?
Yes. You're right, it's all those things. The best teacher isn't good at one thing. The best teacher is good at everything. They're good at explaining, they're good at being sensitive to the kids, they're good at motivating the students, they're good at knowing which students have caught on and which haven't. There isn't one skill the best teachers have. The best teachers have all of those skills. And what happens is average people can have a couple of those skills, but there's others missing, or average people are okay at each of those skills. But just think about this. Just think if I had a teacher that was exceptional at their ability to do questioning strategies, exceptional at asking students questions. If another teacher could go in and observe them, don't you think there's a chance they could learn that somewhat more easily than if they just had to sit down at the desk by themselves and try to figure out how to do that?
But I suppose in order to learn, they need to have enough self-awareness to know that that is something they need to learn.
Sure.
Which is something they may not have.
Right. And that's part of the role of the principal. A principal has to be other people's interpersonal intelligence. If they're missing pieces, the principal has to be able to be that missing piece for that person. They have to help them understand how they come across, have to help them understand how they're being received by others, have to help them understand how to be more effective in terms of teaching the students. And one of the challenges here, I know, and this is part of the conference, is many of the principals don't have an opportunity because they're also teaching almost full-time themselves to get in classrooms to work with teachers and improve them. Thus, everyone in the school is just completely on their own, and that's crazy to think somehow the school can improve them. It doesn't make any sense.
And do you have small schools in the United States? Is that a problem that you've encountered before?
Sure. In the United States, the first school I was at, I was 25, I was a high school principal. I had about 120 students. In addition, in the States, we have sports that are in schools. So I'm also the boys' basketball coach, the girls' basketball coach, the assistant football coach, the softball coach, the boys and girls junior high and high school track coach, and I'm athletic director, and I'm the principal. So, yes, that's a problem in the United States also.
And how do you address it?
You really have to focus on what it is that matters most. Think about this. As a principal, I could, when I have any time, you know, because here they've talked about trying to get the principals freed up one day a week. Well, you know what? The best principals will handle that one day way different than the other principals were. The less effective principals will stay in their office, do paperwork, try to get reports done. The best principals will be in classrooms working with teachers and then do reports some other time besides that day they have. See, that's an example of the different way they're going to handle that.
And if you're being great all the time, the risks are that you could burn out. Do you find that that happens with great principals?
Who do you think is more likely to burn out? Really effective people or ineffective people? Which one hates their job quickest? The ineffective people or the effective people? Which one has the most trouble as a teacher? The one that gets the students to do what they want and the students like them and the students think highly of them and hold them in regard, or the teacher that can't get the students to do anything it is they want? Which one of those two do you think is most risk at burning out?
Well, I mean, I think about a teacher, say, who maybe might be a little bit insecure in themselves, and they push themselves and push themselves and push themselves, and they come across as great to everybody, but after 10 years, they've had enough.
Sure, they're not refilling their own tank, but that's part of the role of the leader. What happens is, just think of this, if I compliment you, you are interested in doing 20 times more than if you just feel like you're just dragging along yourself. Get in classrooms, compliment teachers, value them, make them feel important. Talk to them about what it is the students feel about them and how much a difference they make. That fills people's buckets, you know. I mean, so that's part of what a leader does. I teach you how, but I also value you and make sure you feel important. Your ability to continue to work is incredible. The other thing is we have to sort out and keep the stuff that doesn't matter away from people. You know, instead what happens is, think about this, we punish people for being good. The best people, we ask them to do everything. And the worst people, we ask them to do nothing. We've got to rebalance that world, and that's part of the role of a leader also.
So what kind of tasks then do you think a principal should spend very little time on?
Anything that doesn't involve hiring better teachers or improving the teachers you have. Because those are the only ways to improve your school. So anything you do that isn't that is something that's not going to help your school move forward.
So do administrators then hate to hear you giving that message because maybe forms might be arriving in late or things like that to central offices?
They love to hear me giving that message. They just want that message to go to everyone, including them. But think about that. If I have the one day a week off, and let's pretend I have reports I have to do that day. Did you know I can take the reports and go in a classroom and do them? Or I can sit in my office by myself and do them. And that little simple thing changes how much I'm a part of school, how much I get to be in classrooms, how much I get to observe. A principal can open their mail and take their mail and go in a classroom and open their mail.
But if I'm a teacher...
I'm just saying that little tiny example.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But supposing I'm a teacher and I kind of have the principal at the back of my class, you know, filling out forms or doing some work there. Okay, on the one hand, they are seeing me and maybe affirming me, but I might also feel that they're a little bit intrusive, or maybe I might even feel threatened by their presence.
Sure, and you know what I do? I tell you exactly what I'm doing. It's not a mystery. I'm not helping to lead through osmosis. I'm not hoping everyone mysteriously knows what I'm doing. Just think if I said, you know what, your class, it gives me so much energy because you're an outstanding teacher. Tomorrow I have a day I have to do a report. It's going to take about a half hour. Would you care if I came in there? I'm so much more energized when I'm in your room than if I'm just sitting in the office by myself. I want to see the greatness that takes place in this school. Do you think the teachers are offended at that, or do you think the teachers like that?
Okay, I'm sure they like that.
Right. But you see, I teach you that versus just you're going, what's he doing in here? He's never here. Instead, I talk about this all the time as a principal to my teachers.
One thing you haven't mentioned very much about, and I'd be interested in your view of it, and that is, to what extent should the principal interact with the students in the school? How important is that relationship?
Well, you know what's really strange? The first reason as a principal I tried to be in classrooms every single day is so that the everybody gets to see how you treat the students. I want the teachers to see how I talk to the students, how I always say please and thank you, how I always say ladies and gentlemen. Because if I do that when the teachers aren't there, they don't know that's what I want people to do. So I have to be I always say you need to have a relationship before you need the relationship. And so I'm around the students all the time. I'm in the cafeteria all the time, or wherever they eat, or maybe it's in their classrooms. I want to be in there all the time. The same way I'm praising and valuing the teachers, I'm praising and valuing the students. Exact same thing.
Can a great teacher have a bad day?
Yep, but you know what's weird about a great teacher? They're the only ones that are knowing they're having a bad day. Because they're never disrespectful to the students. They don't put the students down. You want to know a real measure of a great teacher? Here's something a great teacher. A great teacher will come in class on Thursday and say, "Class, I'm sorry if I seemed a little impatient yesterday. I wasn't feeling well." Do you know what the students say? "I don't even know what you're talking about." Because they're able to keep that out. They're able to filter that out, if that makes any sense. And their bad day is in self-reflection. Their bad day isn't in the view of the world.
Another area you're interested in is the whole area of technology and education. Do you think technology could ultimately replace teachers?
Well, I hope it replaces ineffective teachers, and it'll never replace effective teachers. So think about this. If there's a technology that could replace a teacher, it ought to. Because apparently that teacher's not very effective. But otherwise, no, of course not. The teacher knows what the students really need. They have that ability. Think about this. One of the questions I ask a lot is, have you ever been in a poor lecturer's classroom? Everyone has, and they say the problem's lecture and the problem's poor. The problem is they're no good at it. The best teacher in a school uses lecture some of the time, and they're exceptional at it. The worst teacher in a school uses lecture some of the time, and they're terrible at it. So with the worst teacher, we probably should use technology and have YouTube clips teaching the concept they can't explain very well. With the best teacher, they're better than the YouTube clips. So it's always an individual thing. There isn't any one blanket thing. If there's one thing that always works, we're already doing the one thing. But there isn't one thing that always works.
Some of your book titles I found fascinating, and I wonder if I mentioned some of them, could you just tell me a little bit about what's in them?
Sure.
Because, for example, you have one called The 10-Minute In Service.
Right.
That sounds very short.
Right. Yes, I was originally going to call it The 5-Minute In Service, but I was afraid people wouldn't believe it, like the Hollywood diet, you know, lose 35 pounds in a week kind of thing. The concept is we don't have, in schools, time is so precious that as a principal, I seldom have 2 hours with my teachers. But one goal of every meeting I ever have, the minimum goal of every meeting I ever have as a principal, is I want teachers to be more excited about teaching tomorrow than they were today. So when the meeting's over, I want you to be more excited about teaching tomorrow than you were today. Well, one way is if I give you a nugget that would help you improve your classroom, you're ready to teach. You're going, where are the students when we need it? So that's the concept of the 10-minute in-service, is little chunks that can help people improve, help people be motivated, help people be excited, help their techniques, but just doing it in little chunking. Because if it's a matter of the 3-hour in-service, so seldom do we ever have 3 hours to actually work with people that much.
And you also talk about the Friday memo as a way for helping teachers learn as well.
Yeah, the Friday focus. Yeah, it's the best leadership tool I've ever used. It's in my book, Motivating Inspiring Teachers. And it's a way to have a belief system in front of your staff on a regular basis, because there's people you don't want people listening to sharing their belief system on a regular basis.
Is that the informal conversations that happen between teachers?
It's an informal conversation that negative people love to have all the time. In any role, it's not teachers, it's every role. There are negative people that want to take the fun away from everybody.
And on that note, one of your books is called Dealing with Difficult Teachers. What's that book about?
That's exactly it. Think about this. In any organization, the best person does so much work and the worst person does so little work. We've got to rebalance that. If as a leader, I don't deal with a teacher or a staff member that is negative, that whines all the time, that can't handle the kids, that upsets all the parents, it ruins the whole school. It's funny, good teachers want you to deal with ineffective teachers. They're not offended at all that there's a book called Dealing with Difficult Teachers. They love it. Now, it's scary to ineffective teachers. But good teachers love, they want their ineffective, if they have an ineffective colleague, how does that help the school? And so that's the concept behind it.
And another one is Dealing with Difficult Parents.
Yes, it's the same way. I have to protect my teachers from challenging parents who may be over the top or ineffective. But I also teach my teachers how to contact parents, what to say when they visit with them. I give them exact language. All of my books are so specific. And so it's really, what do I say if a parent says this? What do I say if a parent says, I'm not fair? What do I say if I have to deliver bad news to the parents? What do I say if I want to deliver good news to parents? And I'm teaching the teachers exactly, and teaching principals exactly how to do that.
You also have a book called Six Types of Teachers.
Yes.
What are the six types?
We don't have time in the interview, and it's not complicated. A quick way to think of it, one of the things I do a lot of presenting on is three types where there's a superstar, a backbone, and a mediocre. The six types just break those groups down more.
Shifting the monkey.
Yes. Shifting the monkey is kind of what we talked about. Think about this. Monkeys are responsibilities and obligations. The best people have way too many. The worst people have not nearly enough. And so my role as a leader is I take monkeys off my good teachers, put them on me. I take monkeys off me and put them on my poor teachers. That's not the responsibility of teachers to put them on other teachers. That's my responsibility to put them on the teachers and rebalance them, if that makes any sense.
Is it a problem for a principal in motivating teachers that, unlike maybe a CEO in a company, you have relatively few rewards or sanctions,
right,
in terms of pay and in terms of, you know, being able to give time off? How does a principal deal with that, with that problem?
There is no such thing as a monetary reward that really motivates. Think about this. I have a question for you, and I really mean this. If your salary was doubled tomorrow, how much harder would you work?
Not twice as hard.
Okay. And if it was doubled again the next day, how much harder would you work? And if it was doubled the next day, how much harder would you work? Literally none. It's such a short-term thing, if that makes any sense. So to think these rewards in the workplace, in the business world, what's so funny is it's the same things. It's you stroke people, you value people, you thank them, you make them feel important. Because in a business world, I'm still limited on how much I could give in a salary. I'm still limited that I can't pay you 8 times more than I'm paying someone else because it'll cause workplace disruptions. So to pretend that the real world has these tools, it's that interpersonal touch that's so critical. I have a question. The best teacher can motivate students. They don't have any tangible rewards. They don't have any money to give out. They don't give overtime. They work hard, and the kids work harder in that teacher's class than they work in a poor teacher's class. Isn't that a funny thing? If they can do it, then so can the principals and so can business leaders.
And to what extent are these differences between the teachers personality or just inherent talents or skills, or to what extent is it this motivation or how they've actually been formed in their initial teacher preparation?
It's everything, but I don't think it's formed. I think it's forming all the time. You know, if I'm a teacher and I have a challenging class that I can't get to quite do what I want, I can just continue and start to complain about the students, or I can think, wonder what last year's teacher did. What is different about the other teachers in the school that they can get along with kids and I can't get along with kids? That's not inherent. That's not a fixed thing. Nothing about what I talk about is fixed. It's just realizing I have to do something more. I have to do something better. I wonder how the best teacher in our school or in a school does it, and I need to be more like what it is that best teacher does. Personality is part of it, but understand, some great teachers are quiet, some great teachers are very verbose, some great teachers are flamboyant, some are very soft-spoken. So those things are not the factors.
Or what about the fact that some children and some students automatically gel with some teachers and not with others? And, you know, it may not necessarily be that they're great. It may be that there's a connection or something else.
Did you know in a great teacher's classroom, every student thinks they're the favorite? And isn't that an amazing skill that certain people can make everyone feel important and valued there? You're right. With average people, some kids will connect and some kids won't connect. But with exceptional people, somehow they make sure they figure out a way to help every student connect with them. And that's what makes them different.
And how do they do that?
Well, that's what we've been talking about for the last 15 or 20 minutes. By treating every student with respect and dignity, by finding out, making personal relations, by having instructional practices that are more effective, by doing things that are more relevant to the students in their life at that point, by being friendly, by everything, making you feel special, complimenting. You know, there's nothing more powerful than a well-placed compliment.
Are you assuming that the teacher has a basic level of knowledge, for example, of their subject area and a basic level of teaching methods before you even talk about these kind of things, like, you know, making connections and being friendly and so on?
No, I'm actually assuming you're going to start by being friendly and making connections before you even have the... What difference does it make? If you're not going to build relationships with students, what difference does it make if you have exceptional teaching practices? You're never going to get to use them. And so, you know, what's the old saying from a business leader? I can't teach nice, but I can teach cash register. well, I'd rather have people who are going to be nice and treat the students, and I can help them build their teaching skills. I'm not as near as concerned about that as I am disposition.
Can you unpack that, that cash register analogy?
Sure. A business leader, a famous business leader, once said, I can't teach nice, but I can teach cash register. So I can teach you how to run the cash register, but I'm not near as good at teaching you how to be nice to the customers. So you can see with teachers, do you notice I'm actually in that same category where I'm wanting people who are going to be respectful, who are going to be polite to kids, who are going to be friendly, who are going to be, I'll help them with the teaching. But that's a lot harder for me to help them be interpersonally a respectful person.
Two more book titles. The Ball.
Yes. The Ball is it's a story for business. I've written two books for business, and the other 40 books of mine are for education. The Ball is about how in life we have just taken our eye off the ball of what's really most important. And you have to read it. It's a short story. It'll take you about one average restroom visit. It's just about how in life we have taken our eye off the ball of things that are most important.
And one of your books is 50 Ways to Improve Student Behavior. Can you give me one or two of those?
Well, we've kind of talked about them. Think about this. Nothing good can ever happen in unstructured, unsupervised time. So one way to think about improving student behavior is making sure that we have things that we're doing immediately when the students walk in class, that we're not dinking around. We never say, we have 10 minutes left, talk quietly among yourself, because that's not going to work. And so it's being, there is no reaction to misbehavior that works. What happens in an effective teacher's classroom is the students are so engaged, they don't misbehave. And so that's a lot of what those things are, is how do I get people to engage right away and stay engaged versus thinking, how do I react appropriately when they misbehave? Because that's a limited challenge.
And finally, Todd, you spoke to Irish principals today. When you've left, what do you hope they have done as a result of your visit?
Well, I just want to thank them for the dedication and support they give to students every day. I mean, without them, Ireland can't move forward. They really can't. Our job as education is not to reflect society, it's to cultivate society. And we have to do new and different things than what we've been doing. We have plenty of what we have. We need new and different things. And that's the role of the principals. And I have great faith they're going to be able to do that. All I really try to do is help remind them of how come they got in education in the beginning. Because sometimes when they get mandates and people who are upset about them and worn out and worn down, they forget of what a valuable gift they're giving to students and to society every day.
An affirming message for Irish primary school principals there from Todd Whittaker, bringing this week's Inside Education to a close. I want to thank Todd Whittaker for his time and to Larry Fleming of the IPPN for setting up the interview. If you'd like to feature an idea or an event on a future programme, you can write to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. You can listen to over 240 podcasts of previous programmes on insideed.com. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney saying goodbye. Thank you for listening.